Hello, Mech Warriors, and welcome to the Mech Bay, where we fix your mech and fix your game.
What's going on, Mech Warriors? I'm your host, Josh. I've got my co-host, Loremaster Denim.
Howdy, howdy.
And Paint Bay Dustin.
Howdy, howdy.
And...
I think this is the quickest I've derailed an episode. Yeah. All right.
I caught myself saying howdy, howdy to someone, and I was like, ooh, my own episodes are rubbing off on me. I don't know.
It's like catchy. It's catchy. People like it. I like it when people say it to me, and I say it back.
Howdy, partner.
That's different, but okay, too.
But if you're just tuning in, we are the Mech Bay Podcast, your number one source for all things casual to competitive tabletop battle tech. And today... re-recording episode
69. Nice.
And this will be releasing on 420 because you only get one chance to do this, and we had to do it right. So the title of today's episode is That a Third Leg, or Are You Just Happy to See Me? Because we're talking tripods. Like, they have an extra leg, so they're extra cool, right? Right? Maybe.
And then super heavies because they're tripods with girth.
The girthy tripod.
Girth. What a word. Girth.
It's a throwback.
It's already derailed completely. Like the train completely. 100%. Is skidding off.
Remind me again why this is not an after hours.
Yeah, right. Did I tell you that I had a roommate in college who would use the word girthy unironically?
Like, that's the throwback, is I am referring to that podcast in which you said that. Yes.
Oh, I'm becoming an old man. I'm repeating myself. Excellent.
You're both old men to me.
Mm.
I was listening to another podcast today and they were like, when did you start playing? He said 89. I was like, ugh. And then the other host was like, I wasn't too far behind you. I started playing in 1990. I was like, Just like seppuku me now. Like,
no, you got to do it to yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct.
someone's got a las pistol me, though, because like I ain't finishing the job. But yeah, so let's start with the news for episode 69.
Nice.
All right. First big thing. There's a Battletech Ask Me Anything on Reddit. And man, y'all have some terrible questions. Like, I'm judging 98% of the Reddit community harder than I already judged them. Because, like, y'all are terrible there.
Somebody told me you even asked a question.
I asked a question, and it got an answer. And that made me happy. The problem is I asked two questions in the same comments, and they only acknowledged the more important one that I knew I needed an answer for, but I didn't care as much. Because, like, that's a yes or no question. I want to know the hard question underneath. And they skipped over that.
Yeah, you got to split those up. If you're doing anime, you got to split them up. Even
Don't give them a chance.
But no, I asked, were there any plans for an introductory classic format or mission packet outside of campaign books, or a higher level one for experienced players who want something more competitive? And you know what my answer was? From the line developer, we're working on it.
Give you a good slap on the back.
Yeah. I was like, so
we're doing it.
We're working on it. I'll take that. So thanks, Ray.
Hey, Ray's a good guy, though. I like him.
Are we going to get elemental plushies with Velcro hands? I was like...
Velcro hands? So they can stick to mechs, I guess?
No, well, stick to mechs or put different weapon attachments on. I don't care about the Velcro hands, but as soon as Josh said elemental plushies, I'm down with that.
You know, I actually want Joy Toy elemental action figure.
Oh, now that would be super, super cool. I would, if I had to choose one or the other, it would be that one. But a plushie elemental would go great with my Carbot's plushie Space Marine from StarCraft 2. So, you know.
I need to start an action figure collection. So
yeah, man, that would be super cool.
I'm going to give my hot take. This is episode 69. It's only hot takes and occasional tripod. I really feel like the elemental is like, anytime I look at them, I was like, who came up with this art like originally? Like,
I mean, I agree with you. The elemental looks derpy. He's got his hoof feet, his little claws, but
it's super 80s like sci-fi, War of the Worlds type of stuff, and it's fantastic.
It's not even that. It's like the missile pods are literally just like we took two triangles and put them
on the back.
Yeah, like not even like point of contact. It's like no, they touch, only the tips of the triangles touch. Almost like,
yeah, you got to be able to, you got to be able to pop those things off.
That's right. Quick,
they're disposable.
Disconnect. They're so derpy. It's, I've gone full circle. It's endearing. They have to stay the same. They're beautiful in their own derpiness. And I want an action figure. Anyways.
Yeah.
What else do we have? Any other interesting things?
I will say, if you were on the fence of reading that, you have people like Ray Arastia, line developer of BattleTech, assistant line developer Aaron Cahill, BattleTech art director Anthony Scroggins, freelance authors Brian Young and Jason Hansa, freelance writers Stephen Torpov and Ben Kleinvelter, associate developers Josh Parian, Joshua Franklin, and Eric Salzman, and then marketing director Rem Alternus. So you get the whole Catalyst team.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah, there were like 500 some comments, so it's got some nuggets in there. Like, I'm not going to dig for them.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we missed this, and I don't know why we missed this, because we both got one.
It's like, I have one. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's because they weren't in our hands yet, because it had just happened. Mm. But so the other things at Adepticon were the new premium miniatures from Monster Fight Club. We got a premium Wolverine and a premium Mad Dog.
Okay.
Or Vulture for you Inner Sphere peoples.
Mad Dog. I just hear it in Ghost Bear's Legacy voice. Is it just Prime variant?
It's just the Prime variant.
I mean, you can pose it, right? This one missed me completely. This is news to me. I didn't know they were making a...
Because you couldn't buy them. Like, you just had to be at Adepticon. Oh. So.
Okay.
Now, the Wolverine... That one had more like options in it than
Mad Dog.
Yeah, the Mad Dog has two pairs of legs, so like it's got a standing or fast running.
Yeah, kind of like that one Timberwolf that they came out with.
Yeah,
the TC or whatever.
Okay, that's cool.
Wolverine, on the other hand, four gun arms.
Oh wow!
Two for the left, two for the right, four like punching arms. So. In total, you got four different options per arm side. So your left arm, you got four options. The legs, four of them, two for each one. So really, I'm not good at math, but that's a lot of options.
I'm
so,
totally making a Shiva Wolverine.
Yeah, right.
Mecha Shiva. But yeah, no, like, I don't know. I saw those. Asked my friend who was at Adepticon to pick me up the Wolverine. Why? Because, well, one of those looks like much more of a bargain / steal than the other one.
You just got to print yourself some more Wolverine torsos.
Yeah, it's honestly a little disappointing, because it's like, oh, what did the Vulture get? And it's like two extra legs. It's like, that's okay, I guess. The Wolverine seems to be more like of the Phoenix Hawk, where it's like, oh, well, you can do different variants or guns or whatnot. And it's like, okay. But that has much more posability, much more like leg, arm options. So I don't know what they were thinking, where these two are even comparable. Denim, you got comments?
Well, they're premium, and you know how I feel about the name premium.
Premium.
They should be called limited, not premium. So, you know, I don't know any of the backstory behind these. I mean, you know, I've got a problem, so I have one of each. Would I like more? I'd like more missile pod options for the Vulture. I would. That's what I was hoping for when I first heard about it.
Yeah.
That would be super cool. But you know,
it was like, it would be really cool if that Vulture had a Timberwolf A variant.
Oh man, games played. There's two Timberwolf A stories I got. So there.
Oh, nice. That Wolverine does look like lots of options there.
Like, how can you not buy that with just the ability? Like, you're almost getting two other Wolverines. You're just missing the torso.
You are just missing the torso. You just got to print up.
We could make that Wolverine a quad.
It's got four legs. Quad Wolverine. Now you got to kitbash it. All right. So were these Adepticon exclusives, or were they just...
They are Adepticon advanced copies.
Cool, cool.
Impartial opinion is, pick up the Wolverine, drop the Vulture. Like, don't bother with that unless you really want a posability, or like you want to cut it up and do something. But like, there's no difference between that and the plastic one. So buy the plastic one, use the money difference to mod that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
What else we got?
A little note here from the last episode for CurrencyCon. the case that we talked about, the prototype case. That
the cool camo thing.
Apparently, the books did not fit the case.
It's good they ran a prototype.
Super sad.
Yeah, that's why it was the prototype, because they did not get the measurements right.
Okay, but it is supposed to, correct?
It's supposed to.
Okay, well, then I am excited about the finished product.
Yeah.
So if that's the prototype and they're showing that off, then we got to go back to the drawing board. So one day we'll see that maybe.
As long as it doesn't end up like the, what is the deck that was missing the one card?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Battlefield Support
ESP.
Deck.
Battlefield Support deck.
Which those are coming inside every Mercenaries box set. So I hope have. Yeah. Like everybody who gets a Mercenary box set gets one inside.
Nice.
One of the updated ones.
I certainly hope so.
It's still missing it. It's like, no, it's still missing. Was it the heavy bombing?
It was, I think it was Heavy Strike.
Heavy Strike, yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. It maybe not.
It's just all the old decks are shoved in there. No, it would be horrible. It's supposed to be the updated horse. <course.
laughs> Oh, no, it's still missing.
That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get that. It's just rip that box open and check those cards.
Yeah.
I like the BSP deck so much.
But it's a I don't want to say bad product. That's too harsh.
It's a good product.
Incomplete product. It's already out of date.
We want to talk about the big drama?
Yeah, because now it's roughly fixed, I want to say.
It is.
It's easier to talk about.
I'll let the Catalyst demo team agent describe what happened with why some people's Kickstarter things were like $300 worth of shipping.
You know, we outnumbered you 2-1, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I keep you guys in check.
Anyhow, the shipping fiasco, apparently there were multiple problems. One was the map pack was missized to the size of the BFM. Mm. And the other one was in like the shipping the Excel spreadsheet, the wrong column was sent over. So there was a lot more stuff that people weren't supposed to pay for that was just added into there because it was just the wrong column. It was just, you know, column E instead of column G. Who knows?
So just a little clerical error. And
once it was spotted, once it was found, very, very, very fixable, fixable. So shipping prices will go down by hundreds of dollars. I think they said it affected something like 90 to 95% of all the people. Now, if anybody jumped the gun and paid for their shipping ahead of time, when the new shipping rates come out, they will get a full refund of the extra amount that they paid. So, you know, nobody's losing any money over that, even if they already paid the shipping. But immediately after that, they zeroed out everybody's shipping, and now they're going through and redoing it. So
crisis averted.
But yeah, exactly. Because if this was not a solvable issue, if this was just, oh no, that's just how much shipping's going to cost, in my opinion, not as a CDT person, but as a Battletech fan, this would have been their last Kickstarter. Like, nobody would have supported a Kickstarter that had that much shipping. I mean, my shipping was in the 300s. So, and now, like, what they say is it's going to be under 100, which yay. Like, normal shipping.
That's good. There's a Humble Bundle with all kinds of fiction. So that's floating around out there.
Lots and lots of books.
Wait, you guys can read?
No.
Nope. So unfair.
Sometimes. Only in the morning after coffee. Oh, man.
Yeah, we'll get to that for hobby progress about reading.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. I've forgotten that for two episodes that I have reading hobby progress.
Oh, put it in there. So I'll talk about this one because I put it down. But I saw, when I was sleuthing is generous. I was on YouTube in the algorithm recommended to me some of those videos of that manufacturer over in China where Catalyst is getting their mechs.
Lea International.
Yeah. I like their little jingle.
Some person in China is just so happy that their work is being appreciated right now.
I really appreciate it now, you know? But yeah, I saw like purple mechs and red mechs and blue mechs, and I'm like, hey-o. I know those colors. I know what that means. So I guess there's going to be some faction force packs with, you know, red mechs. So I guess you could just wash those. It's probably not that interesting. I don't know if they're releasing any new mechs or anything like that, because I couldn't see those details in the videos, but colored PVC mechs coming to a store near you at some point once they get across the ocean. But that's kind of interesting. A lot of new players, I feel like they kind of, because it's the through salvage, all things are possible, is can be really overwhelming. But if you can, as a person who's steeped in the BattleTech universe, if you can just point and be like, the purple mechs, man, you want to play a purple team? Get the purple mechs. Like that's great for getting people in, getting people started.
All right, let's move on to some hobby progress. Oh man, I got stuff painted, boys.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I painted my Dragoon, my Amaris Civil War that only one single one survived, and somehow Comstar got it to lead the Blessed Order in their final, you know, Alamo fight against the Republic.
Is it the Dragoon? Is that that quad Gauss rifle thing?
No, that's
Rifleman style.
No, that's the Rifleman 3.
Oh, that you're right. Yep. I have one. It's okay. Not painted.
It's okay.
That would have
okay.
been very appropriate for this episode, though.
Yeah.
If it was.
Yeah. You're looking at it. No. The Dragoon is essentially a Lancelot that's been up armored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 70 ton Lancelot.
Does it have a lance?
No, they don't have a lance. I don't know why. I don't make these rules. Who does this? Like I said, there's only one of them. Mm-hmm. Once you leave the Civil War, like that's not even Civil War, like Star League Civil War, like there's only the one, and I painted it, and you know, it's okay. It's got Feral Lamb. It's a 4.63.
Okay.
It has a plasma rifle, LB10, two X pulse lasers, an Angel ECM, and what was the other thing? A C3I, of course.
Of course.
Because I mean, it's Comstar. What are you going to do?
I mean, it's It's their thing.
It's their thing. But yeah, that is the literal mech that the like on the ground combat leader is supposed to be piloting. So I was like, I'm finally going to paint this up. Like I've had it for like 3 years. Problem is, I tried to freehand both the Dark Age Comstar logo and the Blessed Order Angel with a sword freehand. Mm-hmm. No, I'll just pay you to do that next time, Dustin.
Yeah, just get the little the specs. That's the secret. Is magnification.
I don't know. For me, it was like the color blending, because it's like no angel looks like that. Mm-hmm. Like that was too difficult. Like that made me angry. I did that angel twice on it, and I'd say I did pretty good, but not as great as I want to. It's no Golden Demon winner. I'll put it that way.
I also put paint on things. I got all excited about the painting up my Grey Death Legion. So I pulled out a bunch of other mechs that I also think should be part of. I'm going from a lance, and I brought it up to a company. So now I'm painting a Grey Death company because I really like the paint scheme. So I have base coated like 8 more mechs.
Nice. 8 mechs, 8 Grey Death mechs. So you got your classics.
I've got 13 because I've got the 12 mechs and Carlisle's Marauder. So
excellent.
But that came separately. That came in that legend box.
That's so progress. So you're getting the studio set up a little bit, getting the hobby dojo going on.
You can kind of see it behind me.
Getting the old house together.
Mm-hmm. It takes months, literal months. It takes a while. It's crazy.
I also started building the Dugrum Bigfoot, which is the basis of the Battlemaster. From back in the day.
I saw you picked up at the store. I was like, man, I really hope I get to see Denim actually put that together soon.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to go up there on the shelf up there with the Shadowhawk. That's up
nice.
There.
That's so high. That's out of the camera, man. Like you can't put things up that high. That's at the ceiling. That's closer to the ceiling than the floor.
It's a 9-foot ceiling too. So it's up there.
Yeah. Might as well just throw that to the moon. Like, here you go, man. What was I going to say? But yeah, so I finished my Dragoon, based that. Like, that's 100% done. No more touching that. I finished my Titan. Technically, nice. My Titan 2. Not my Grand Titan. Also, the Comstar.
Too many Titans.
Yeah. Is Word of Blade Comstar 1. Jihad era.
It's like Vipers. You got the Viper.
Yeah.
The Viper, and the other Viper. And anyways.
That one was fine. Like, that was mainly just, like, that's a lot of, like, squares. And I was like, how do I make this giant white block not look like just a white block? And I was like, I'll add some colors. I'll put some, like, all the actuators are like dark gray. So it really, like, okay, there's contrasting there. Hit your shadows, hit your cockpit. Like, that's as good as I could do. So,
yeah. And some of those old sculpts are kind of fun that way, though. Get lots of open spaces to play with.
Yeah, it would probably be better for free hands than I want to do with it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's a 100-ton.
Yeah.
100-ton piece. Yeah, it has no right to be what it is. Five SRM4s.
Yeah, I have fought against this twice, I think.
Yeah.
So far.
It loses every time. Like, it's pretty not much, good. Yeah. It is not a good match.
Not good.
It looks canonically,
cool while it's doing it.
Canonically, he is the, what is it, like level 2 or / choir leader, and he's a 4 or 5. Like, it is not a good mech with a not a good pilot. But the other things I did, I put basing materials on my Warhammer, because I'd never painted that, and then I put like all the accent colors, like the missile pod on the Warhammer is orange now, so like, oh, it's not just white. Rifleman kind of did the same thing, put basing on that, and finally got my Mongoose Gunslinger glued to a base and then the green stuff around it, so it's actually like not just a chunk on a base. And I'm like, cool.
Now, is that another gunslinger? Is
no,
that the gunslinger from 2019?
That's the 2019 gunslinger.
Yeah, all right. Took 5 years.
Look, I've owned many mongooses in that time period.
Were you having trouble committing to like painting because you like the gunslinger so much?
I don't know. That's a good question. Why did I not paint this mech that I ran every... It's probably that. It's probably because I played it so much back then.
I mean, I remember you loved that gunslinger. You're like, this is peak mech sculpt right here.
It is.
And it was in the bad sculpt era, so we didn't have the CGL plastics or anything like that. So it was a nice, fresh sculpt.
Yeah.
Modern sculpt, so.
Like, it is... It's got some drip. It's got some drip. Like, it had been painted, like, it's done, it's just I'd never put it on a base, and I was like, why have I not put you on a base?
So you got that finished up?
Got that nice. Finished up. Yeah, and I think the only thing is I'm trying to finish my order to Fortress, like, I've had it in my cart for, like, a week. Do y'all want to know what's in my cart, and I just can't decide?
Tell us what's in the cart. This is almost hobby progress. You have to buy it.
Like, I can press buy now. Like,
and then it would be, hobby progress.
I got three... Count them, 3 Void Battle Armor for some Novacats.
Okay. Mm.
3 Clan Medium Battle Armor, also for the Novacats. I've got 1 Cobra Patrol Vehicle support from Metalcore Collectibles, the one with a little radar dish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I've got 1 Dante Class Comstar Frigate from Aerospace. And I'm like, this order needs something else, like something I'm going to use more regularly than any of these things. It needs a mech, and I don't know what to put in there. Like, I can't press complete order.
Stormwolf, Alpha Wolf, Thunderwolf. Is that no, I don't think it is, but they need to make one. It's the...
Okay, I will say 2 things. I thought about a Tessin.
Uh-huh.
But then I was like, Tessins are bad.
When has that ever stopped you?
3% of the time. Apparently, this is that 3%. It's just an ERPPC, a medium pulse laser, C3I tag. Like, it's got too much stuff that I'd run other stuff with. What was the other one? More Metalcore Collectibles, like vehicles. Like, his little... I don't know. I'm on APC brain mode now.
When I go to... How many times have I been to Southern Assault? 3 times or something like that. Every time I go, I pick up little vehicles from the prize pool. That's what I want. I just want little APCs and little trucks and stuff because it's the kind of stuff you don't want to buy.
Yeah. But I mean, his looks great. So I love looking at those. And also, was it Arclight Miniatures is painting those up on their Instagram right now? And I'm just like, you know what? No, that sold me. Like, that's a great paint job on a great model.
Yeah.
You can't put lipstick on a pig. That started out good and it ended great. So
we have a Thunder Fox, a Thunder Hawk, a Thunder Stallion, but we do not yet have a Thunder Wolf.
I'll put it this way. I went through all 62 pages of Fortress's Ironwind Metals catalog looking for something that stood out. Nothing hit me. And I don't know why. Because any other day, I would buy.
It's wearing off on you, man.
No.
You need more. It takes more to get the same feeling, man. They warned you about this in elementary school.
The first hit's going to be great, but the 20th, you need a bigger dose.
Chasing that dragon.
Your cart's only at $40, Josh, and that's mainly battle armor. I know you. You're not going to be content with that. Battle armor and an aerospace frigate? No. Just rip your card.
I mean, you obviously need more aerospace.
Obviously. I don't know. I'll think of something.
Almost hobby progress. All right. Is anything else? Is that pretty much it?
Do we want to do books?
I purchased stuff. There. We've got a library in the new house.
Oh, look at that.
I was told we need to have nice books in the library. So I have 9 of the leather bound gold inlay BattleTech books now.
Leather bound. Oh, they have real binding, not just glue.
They're nice.
Nice. They're nice. They are beautiful.
They're all signed by the authors.
Wow.
Every single one of them.
I'm a little jelly. These are beautiful. And this is like the trifecta of trilogy right here.
Well, I'm missing the Gray Death in that because I think they had that set, but they're sold out. So I think there's 4 sets and I've only got 3 of them.
Oh, you're right. It is missing. Yeah, because the Way of the Clans one is a little Falcon.
Yep. Whatever. Yep. The Jade Phoenix trilogy.
Yeah. But they look nice. And you'll get those other ones at some point. So did you're filling out your Gray Death Legion? You got some books?
Yeah.
Is that about it?
Yeah. I mean, I've base coded some stuff. I'm building a 172 scale Battlemaster. It's all getting some stuff done, which is nice. It feels good.
Get her done.
Yeah. I got a tiny bit done. I finally put together my Aphrodite. I bought an Aphrodite at Southern Assault last year because it looks cool. It has a Gatling gun. It's a Rack 5.
I was going to say, that's a Rack, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a Rack 5. I bought it because it's the cool one. I actually looked at the record sheet for the first time. I have thoughts. We'll talk about it later. I also got it primed. I got a base assembled, cleaned up. That took forever. There's a lot of parts. The thing is heavy.
Yeah, it is.
It's
dense.
You could, like, around, you know, to the temple, maybe in a sock, might kill somebody. That thing is, that's a lot of pewter. But yeah, I was glad to assemble it. I'm going to be painting that up in Merit colors.
Did you assemble it correctly?
I think so. What do you mean by
how is the body adjusted to the legs?
I put the leg in front.
Good. Yeah. That's
like the record.
We'll cover that. Yeah.
Yeah. Not backwards like they have it on the art photo. But I mean, you know, it can rotate whichever way, I guess.
Well, I was just looking through the rules and it specifies that.
We'll get into that when we talk about tripods.
I'm sure we will. I was just curious how we put it together.
But I got a little basing done and it's there's a lot of canvas on that bad boy. So I got it primed tonight, actually.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm excited for that. It's nice. Been a long time coming, like 9 months or something. Wait.
He's counting on his hands.
6 on my fingers because I'm, 3 years old. 4, actually. 4 years old. 4 or 5. So like 7 months, not quite 9 months. So,
how good is Dustin with numbers? About that good.
About that good. I'm a pictures guy. Words and numbers hard, pictures easier. But yeah, that was it for hobby progress for me. There's one last thing you wanted to add, Josh?
Yeah,
hobby progress.
Because I forgot this for the last 2 episodes, and people don't believe that I can read if it's not.
I didn't believe it. Yeah,
I had one of my new coworkers were like, Josh, how fast can you read? And I was like, pretty good. And they're like, this isn't like a sci-fi novel. I was like, do you think I read sci-fi novels? No, give me the technical documents, please. Like, rule book only.
I'm built for the rule book.
Forget the lore.
Now I want to know who read these to Josh.
Me. Myself. Tournament Josh read them to me. Fine. But no, I finished the proliferation cycle.
Nice.
Now,
just in time for book club.
Yeah. Is that what this is? This?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. It was like that was the book club.
Six months ago.
One of the first episodes on
that. I was like, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It's a good book.
I was there for that one.
Yeah. It's a good meeting.
Yeah. I started reading Proliferation Cycle when I went to Adepticon last year and finally finished it.
You might get some of the stories are stronger than others. Maybe you got hung up on.
I did want to touch on that. A, I thought all these were like new, like written stories for this. No, these are all reprints of like 2004 Battle Corps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did not know that. Did not know
again,
that.
Again, Josh, it's Battle Corps.
I refuse.
Battle Corps.
Yeah. Why? Because it's dead.
Jesus.
I went into this thinking my favorite would be the Terran Hegemony one with the Mackie and like kind of going down like my faction favorites, and it was like completely the opposite. Worst one, Terran Hegemony.
About the Mackie.
Yeah, no, and I honestly was like, A, confused for about 20 pages. Word of advice to writers, don't leave your writers confused in the first 20 pages of your multi-story thing.
Man, I'm getting book club flashbacks, Dustin.
I wasn't there, so it's all fresh to me.
It's a mini book club.
The worst part is I read that one, the Terran Hegemony one, last year and still remember like, oh, why did I drop reading this book? Oh, that's why.
I think the first story though is the first time I read Tight Little Ass in a Battletech novel.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, nice. It's a man's ass, by the way. That was a man's tight little ass. For those wondering.
They were built different back then.
That's right.
You got to squeeze into those little tiny mech cockpits.
But yeah, no, my favorite one was actually the Capellan one.
Capellan one was good.
Yeah, it was good.
I want to say it's because all the Capellans knew they were going to die, and then they died.
Yeah.
And they had fun doing it anyway.
They even killed each other.
Yeah, no, I was like, this is great. And then there's a like Mimi Capellan, you know, joke there that is like, no. It's like they knew they were going to die. So they were like, what can we do to really throw people off our trail? Like, I was like, oh, this is like hardcore. Like, this is the plan. We got to do it this way. I was like, okay, I enjoy reading that.
Yeah.
The Lyran one was good because also they were like, we're going to die.
What was the corporate espionage one? Was that the Free Worlds League?
That was the Merrick, which was my third favorite.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, oh no, you've been, what's it? Treason.
Treasons, yep.
And then it's like, ooh.
By your girlfriend.
Again.
Sucks. Again. Yeah, it's like, bro, stop.
Yeah.
Like you as the reader are getting angry. You're like, bro, it's your girlfriend. Don't do it.
It's always the girlfriend. It's always the boyfriend.
This man went to prison for her twice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that one, the Karita one I tried, that one was really too confusing. I did not know there were brothers that were the same name or whatever.
Bro. That would be really confusing. I like the Gajin, the bugs. How do you say that? I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. I like that one. That was a good one. The two brothers.
Yeah, where the and the what is it? Clan Kaido one was okay. Like it was okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, all in all, I was like, man, why does all this sound like 20 years dated? Oh, that's why.
And listeners, if this sounds like something fun to do, you can join us for book club once a month. Join our Discord and check it out.
Josh, it feels a lot like this conversation. It really does.
Like it's really a lot like this, and it lasts about an hour. Yeah. And then you're free to do the rest of your Sunday. Yeah. So nice.
But yeah, I finished that up. And then I was like, you know what? I need a palate cleanser now. And was it David Eisenberg recommended Quest for Jardine? So I started reading that. And I finished.
I recently started that series because there's more than one book in it.
Yeah, I'm on the third book.
Well, you're further than me in that one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That one's okay. I'm reserving judgment until the very end, but it was also like $2. So I'm not like, I say that Proliferation Pack was free. Still going to criticize that hardcore. You're never safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say highlights of the Quest for Jardine.
Hey, no spoilers. I just started it.
Manny Dom and I exploding because they hit an EMP in graphic detail. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know why. I just really enjoy people in battle armor dying.
It's that one from the two key book, you know, the artillery.
Two key book, Isle of Blast, Quest for Journey. It's like, what's Josh's favorite part of this book?
Buying it, assembling, and killing little dudes.
Yeah. It just brings me joy.
All right.
That's it for hobby progress. Sorry for the book tangent, but I've been trying to get that out of my brain for like 2 months.
Nice.
All right. Let's go to some games played. I just ranted for like 10 minutes. So does anyone else want to get some games played in?
Dustin.
No, I did not get any games in.
Okay.
I'm trying to get out for one of these nights. I need to play a war game before I die. Too much yard work, not enough rolling dice. But yeah, how about you guys?
Yeah, I got a few games in.
The regular games?
Yeah, regular. Well, I got a game against Spectral Platypus on the Discords.
Nice.
We had a fun game. It was one of those games that started off where, like, the game started off and I was just dominating. I'd say for the first three turns, I was almost like, we should just start over.
Re-rack, yeah.
Re-rack.
But then...
Oh, yeah. So he had a... what's that one mech with the axe that's it's really big? It's like 90 or 100 tons.
Ooh.
I keep wanting to say Bandersnatch. It's not Bandersnatch.
No, it's not the Bandersnatch. It's a cut.
Berserker. The Berserker. Yeah. Yes. He had a Berserker, and it was just too slow. And you know my boys are always speedy.
Very fast, yeah.
It was going fine for me until I jumped my spider behind him. And he's just like, he did not go after the target I thought he was going to, and he torso twisted. And there was just arms and legs. Arms and legs left of this spider. Nothing was attached. Like, there was no torso at all.
So he was able to use the hatchet. He torso twisted and put you in the
TSM hatchet.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Yes. And it obliterated that spider.
It's some Kali Ma just like straight through. What's that?
and his mechs were just taking so much. Like, I was hitting a lot. And I was just, it was like my guys were just intent on scouring every single pip of armor off of these guys before hitting anything internal. I took out his Greyhound, and I put a lot of damage on that Berserker, just so much. But it was starting to get late, and it went from me saying, "Oh, I've got this game won," and then I'm like, "Okay, you're about to attack my catapult. If you hit him, I'm just gonna, all my guys are just gonna eject and you win."
Yep.
But if you don't, like, this game is so close that we're just gonna call it a draw after that. Yeah. So either you're gonna win or draw right here. And he needed a 7 and he rolled a 6. Oh. So
why would you do that to him? Why would you put that curse that dice roll?
I know. It was a draw, and it went from me feeling bad to one of the closest games I've ever played. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
That one was cool. So Spectral Platypus, thank you.
All right. Any other games played?
This is April. So campaign day for April has always been Arena Combat in Solaris using the arcade operations stuff. So you're basically playing frag with battle mechs where there's power-ups, you have infinite lives, you respawn. This year we were all in the Steiner Coliseum maps.
Nice.
With the walls that go up and down. There's no GM, so everybody just, you went 6 to a table. Everybody had their little spawn-in points, and you'd randomly spawn in, and you'd grab power-ups.
Oh, sounds fun.
It was chaos. it was chaos. It was a lot of fun. Some people didn't know we were playing Arena Combat, so they had decided this would be a good month to have a new pilot, like a 4-5 pilot or an intro tech locust or something like that. it was entertaining, and I think that's as the goal was to go for entertaining. I think it did just fine. Was it fair? No, But arena combat in this way is not about being fair. It's about being fun and about the audience really enjoying that. And those of us like me who are watching were probably much more entertained than the people who were playing them. But it was some nail biters. Like it was some good fights. That locust caused some problems for sure. It died a few times, but I'm pretty sure it killed at least one other person. But you know, the power-ups are cool. Like one of them is called Wild Missile, where as soon as you step over it, it launches 40 homing missiles Whoa. From you that randomly attack someone else within 10 hexes of you. So you just roll randomly to see who it attacks, and then all 40 of them hit. And
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it ignores cover and walls and stuff.
You just take five.
And this is during the movement phase too. So
that is crazy. Yeah.
So you can get knocked down or whatever. Crazy, crazy times. I did play in one at the very end. And I had that Crusader that I like, the one with the claws and the TSM and the XXL engine. And I was fighting against the Highlander with the hardened armor. So my mech does, when it's all TSM'd up at 9 heat, it does 20 points per claw. So I ran up to this Highlander and I'm like, all right, I swing with my left and totally missed, swing with my right, hit it. Get a headshot. So rolled that 6, got a headshot. And I'm like, you've got hardened armor. So he still had 1 point of internal structure.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, oh, no.
So then
I rolled, I rolled for my crit, rolled 2 more 6s. So knocked that head, uppercut, knocked that head right off, which was fantastic.
But it was intact. You didn't destroy it. You just blew it off.
Yeah, the whole head was just over there in the side. He's watching his mech as he's like flipping around in this cockpit.
You didn't destroy the head. You just
knocked it off. Yeah. But the very last turn, Brian, who runs the shop, was in his Timberwolf A, and he shot my. Well, I was running up to him, and he just opens fire on me, and I had just gotten this power up of super strength. So my weapons were even more powerful. Like I was doing, my claws were doing 40 points of damage per hit instead of 20.
Wow.
So as I ran up to him during the fire phase, he got crits on both of my arms and blew off both of my claws. Just he hit one, the claws on one arm, the claws on the other arm.
Oh, he declawed you.
Yes. I was very upset about that. And I'm like, well, I've got super strength. I'm going to punch you anyway. And he's like, well, I'm going to kick you first. So he kicks my leg off. So my leg is gone. It goes flying over there. Luckily, melee is simultaneous. So I just do 2 regular punches, both on 6.
Oh, my goodness.
With the super strength, it's 28 points of damage each. So I did 56 points of damage. I just took my hands and just slammed that little cockpit in the front. Just 56 points of damage to the head. Like he a mosquito. Did not eject.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing but hamburger.
It was crazy. It was awesome. And then like whoever got the most kill, everybody got points, got cash prizes. And then everybody got to pick from a list of prizes at the end, based on ranking, like who got the most kills.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So this stuff. Is a local game. We, in the local Discord, there was an after action report and, somebody posted a stock locust going against 3 Wolverines. So it was an interesting challenge and it did not go well. So I just imagine 3 Wolverines and a locust and you know what meme you guys are thinking about. So,
but the locust, first of all, the locust in the defense of the locust is fast and you get to see what the power-ups are. So he can grab the power-ups before the Wolverines and get those abilities. Like he can get the triple laser or the wild missile, or, you know, I saw somebody in a, what was it? Was a Shadowhawk or a Griffin? I think it was a Shadowhawk that had a loadout like a Griffin.
Okay.
So he had the PPC and the LRM-10, but it was the Shadowhawk. He grabbed super speed and he did a 12 hex charge.
Ooh.
Yeah. Through another mech. Just through it. Just obliterated. Just pieces everywhere. He comes running through there. He did something like 69 points of damage to a mech on a charge. It was amazing.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. Can't wait till next year.
All right. What do we got next?
Those are my games. How about you, Josh?
I also did the campaign, and I think I ended that day with 3 kills.
Nice. That's respectable.
Yeah, it's respectable. I only died twice, and one of them was to an AC-20 or headshot. So it's like you can't really like.
That, I heard that one from across the room.
Yeah, that wasn't my fault. That was them just like, hey, I got lucky.
Hey, yeah, AC-20 to the face never gets old. Never
I don't know how old. An AC-20 to the face is your fault unless you're like looking down the barrel of these.
I was not. I was. That was the worst part. No, I think I killed a howler that someone had kitted out to be like a melee master, a 4-punch with retractable blades, so they could hopefully punch 4 times, and if they ever hit the head, they'd extend it,
chunk hole punch it.
Like, all right, it's a little memey, but okay.
That's what arena combat is about, though.
Yeah,
the memes.
I killed that. I killed a Warhammer by TSM kicking his leg off. Took 2 turns, took a lot of damage before I could do it. But then I left him on the ground for like 3 more turns. I was like,
you need the points.
Yeah, but I was like, he was still able to prop and shoot with clan lasers and PVCs. I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to go pick on little mechs. You stay there. Then I came back and finished him off. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not evil. I crushed his other leg, which went into his other torso to kill that. So I did some damage. And then my 3rd kill was I pushed him. He had just respawned and I charged him and pushed him. The whole table agreed. Like I pushed him back through the doors because he was right next to the doors.
Get out of here.
He blew off both of my arms. So I was like, I already knew I wasn't being able to push him. So I was like, no, we're charging. So I charged and kind of like yeeted him through.
Nice. So
that was my 3rd one. But I did get another game in. I got to play Kamen, and this was trying out my Blessed Order versus his Smoke Jaguar / we called it Fidelis because like if I'm taking Dark Age Comstar, like he should.
It's gotta be Fidelis.
It's gotta be Fidelis. So I took my brand new Painted Dragoon 05, a Titan AJ, the Nexus 1C, and the Raijin 301. Yeah. So that is pretty much all Blessed Order Dark Age Comstar mechs. The Dragoon 05 was the only 3-4. That was a 3-4, and the Raijin was a 3-4. Yeah. The other ones were 4-5. So he took a Warhawk, a Cauldronborn, a Stormcrow, and a Mistlynx. And he took a weird, like, Narc SRM, LRM list. So it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I think his goal was to narc me and shoot me with missiles. Shockingly, that was my goal with my Raijin 301 with the iNarc and homing pods. So the only difference was he had no ECM and I had a Dragoon with Angel ECM.
Yeah, that kind of ruins a lot of things.
That game was good. We play one of the Mechbay winter missions where it's me trying to get across the line and him trying to get to my side. Essentially, like, change places of the board and try to kill as many people as you can before they can do that.
Classic.
It's easy. I like it. Mm-hmm. That was good. The highlights of that one were it took me so long to land the iNarc on the Warhawk that by the time I had landed it, like, there was hardly anything left to shoot missiles at it. Like, my Dragoon and Titan kind of stayed together to, like, they really wrecked that Stormcrow. Mm-hmm. I think they had taken one arm off and like done some internal like an engine damage. Like it wasn't dead, but it was crippled. So much so that I sent my anti-infantry Nexus against it. And the Nexus lived. The Mistlynx actually killed the Nexus. Then
wow.
Yeah. Like when I say there was not much left of either of those, like, whew. Yeah, the Raijin I had sent after the Warhawk, hoping I could like get behind it, get an easy iNarc, and then like go back and just fire missiles at it. That didn't work as well as I wanted to. Also, because the Warhawk didn't have hands. It's got, you know, guns. I was like, ooh, that's an easy, like, he needs like +6 or something. Like, because it's a +4 if you have hands to rush an iNarc /...
If all you got for guns for arms, you know.
Yeah, so I'm like, he's either going to shoot or he's going to brush it off. So he's the best target. but the Cauldron Born kept harassing the Raijin. I ended up falling once, and that was kind of the end of the Raijin. Like, he was able to get away, but when you can't jump away,
yeah,
it kind of ruins it. So, And the Dragoon did good. The only problem was the Dragoon took like a lot of targeting and putered hits on one side torso. And when it's Inner Sphere XL'd, it just destroyed it. So I lost that game. I think I tried over relying on Einarch special stuff. And like, If you can't land it, you just don't get it.
Yeah. Time to switch gears.
Yeah. But it was a good game. Like, it wasn't a bad game. It was like, okay, look, you spend 100 tons on a Titan that only has like 7 medium lasers and you only hit 2 of them. Like, that's like almost half your PV right there.
I mean, Battletech, but it happens. It does.
I just want my big expensive mechs to always hit. I don't care if the little cheap ones don't hit. That's what they're there for. But yeah, those are my games. And then I will say the Scott's Game Room game where I bring my Word of Blake and fight Scott's Clan Sea Fox on YouTube is out. So do you guys watch that?
I did watch that. I feel that is the perfect amount of time for a classic recap. I really enjoyed watching that. I started watching a bunch of the more stuff that was on there too. But that is what, for classic games, that's the information I'm looking for. Okay. I enjoyed every single aspect of that.
That was three hours compressed into 15 minutes.
It was fantastic. It was great.
I hate battle reports in general, and this was palatable. I was like, this is good. 15 minutes, nice and succinct. It's good. So yeah, it could work.
I like the Solaris stuff he was doing too, because it has a story that you get to follow. So when things happen, I'm like, oh man, or, you know, I have to check
more of this out.
It's good bite-sized chunks, and it is the highlights. It is the right amount of stuff, and it's done well, in my opinion.
Yeah, I even watched with my wife, and I was like, this is like, I would show this to someone who's like learning Battletech or like on the fence about getting into Battletech. Like, hey, this is an entire game condensed into 15 minutes. And if you can't watch this and like, did that look like fun or not? Like, that there's like, your answer.
I enjoy playing for 2 or 3 hours, but if I'm watching someone else, it's 15 minutes. 15 minutes is my happy
spot. Kill me now, man.
Yeah.
Millennial brain don't work like that no more. But no. So yeah, thank you, Scott, for having me on to do that. It was great beating you, I guess.
Spoilers.
Sorry, I'll cut that.
Spoiled it.
9-1, baby.
At the end. And that's all that mattered.
Yeah. But no, I had fun. All right. We got a quick upcoming events. Man, it's April already.
Halfway done with April already.
Thankfully, all the events I have are for May, and I'm going to one. Can you pick out which one I'm going to? We've got the Richmond City Open on May 3rd in Richmond, Virginia. They've got Classic and Alpha Strike, so they are doing both. So whatever you like. All right, we've got the Battle of Tukiid on May 11th in Greenwood, Indiana. We've got Motor City Mayhem in Detroit, Michigan on May 18th. And we've got Rocky Top Con. We've got Classic and Alpha Strike, and that's May 25th and 26th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
A lot going on the East Coast.
I know. West Coast. Get it together. And This is when I say, if anyone has any events, please send them into the mechbaypodcast@gmail.com so I can add them to the calendar and give your event a shout out on the next episode.
Yeah. Hit us up, West Coast. Is Tennessee East Coast? Does that count?
Oh, that's very East Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like 20 hours from the coast.
It touches North Carolina, so it's
almost. That's the
problem. Those are two states.
It's considered East Coast, though.
All right. Blame the colonies.
It is not all Midwest. Right. It's not Middle East. It's not. It's
East Coast. All right. Those are the events. Do we have any fan mail?
I was just going to say, so I will actually be going to the Motor City Mayhem in Detroit, Michigan, because I was invited to take back the title from Southern Assault 2024's winner, Steve Mazel, and come up to their state and take their trophy back here. My mission, whether I live or die, is to take that trophy home, boys.
You need to do it with hunchbacks, too.
Crabs.
No, you need to do it with hunchbacks, oh, just to rub salt in the wound.
Rub salt.
Yeah.
That man had a family.
Love you, Steve.
All right. We have a little fan mail, and this fan mail was actually a list request. So, Justin, you were put in charge to make a 7,500 BV Ghost Bear list, and you were like,
Kachuga.
Easy.
Easy.
Like, do it in your sleep. So I was like, yeah. Okay, what you have for the 7,500 Ghost Bears?
We've got, I mean, you can't make a Ghost Bear list without a Kodiak. So we have a Kodiak Prime, standard stuff. This is all 3-4, by the way, even the elementals when we get there. So we got a Kodiak. We have a Dragonfly or Viper Prime, Dasher / Fire Moth A. Save a little BV there. It has a job. Let's just have it do its job. And we got two of the Headhunter 5-squad elemental battle armors. Headhunters are special for the Ghost Bears. This is I put together an invasion era list because we didn't have an era. So you can play an invasion era list in like any era. The classics are still around. So this comes in at 7,413. So there's a little BV there you might be able to wiggle with. But you got a Kodiak, you got an Anchor, you got a Dragonfly, which is a very fast medium clan mech. Obviously, you're going to put those battle armors on those fast boys. The Dasher is just a delivery vehicle. Maybe you can do something else with it. Probably not. Get those fast guys in there. Get it on their lower, heavier elements. And then send that hammer in onto that anvil, that Kodiak, and just crush the core of their list. And then finish it up. Wrap it up. So there you go.
The worst part is I've fought this list, like very, mm-hmm. I fought very close. And even against like my semi-optimized, like 7,500s, the Kodiak does not die.
And like, it's good.
Like it's such an anchor. Like it is what? Almost
and
half.
It slaps. It yeah. slaps you so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
You can't ignore it. You can't go on. Like the other mechs and the elementals are going to get in position because you can't ignore the Kodiak. You just can't. You're not going to be able to get a really good clan list at 7,500 that has five mechs. You can't do a star. So using elementals and some lighter mechs is key. And this is a good list. It's fun.
This is close
quintessential.
To peak.
Yeah. This is like as close as you can get to Blake. But yeah, try it out. There you go. So yeah, there you go. You got a classic list. Comes recommended.
Don't think too hard. Just apply Kodiak.
Yeah, apply Kodiak to problem and support elements. All right. Got any other fan mail?
Nah, that's it for this week. Remember, send in your fan mail questions or requests to themechbaypodcast@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
I just need a button that says that. I'm getting tired, boys. All right, let's take a quick break, see what's on the HPG, and then we'll get into episode 69. Is that a third leg, or are you just happy to see me?
Grillers Gone Wild is proud to announce their newest partnership with the Lyran Commonwealth Tech Division to bring you the new ER Flammenwerfer. Now, with the hottest plasma torch containment technology and new miniaturized nozzles, you can verf flammens on all those pesky infantry blobs to your heart's content. So come on down to see the hottest commercial grills to the most combat-effective war crime weapons on the battlefield. Whether you're cooking turkeys with the techs or roasting falcons on the field, Grillers Gone Wild has all the tech to make you sweat.
All right, we're back. And we're talking about
third legs.
Third legs.
There's only one kind of mech in Battletech that's got a third leg. It's a tripod, actually.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about tripods. Let's just get that out of the way. Tripods. There's only like, what, four of them?
Something like that.
Three.
Three?
Oh, Triskelion, yeah. Poseidon, and the Ares series?
Yeah.
Okay. And
the Poseidon and the Ares are like, they're the same model. Okay, yeah. Kind of.
They're not. There's different tonnage. If they're different tonnage, they're different mechs.
But do they have different sculpts?
Yes.
They do. I can tell the difference between a Poseidon and Ares from quite the way. It's the Ares that has like five or six variants.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected.
Yeah, I like my Poseidon.
Yeah. All right. So there are a couple different ones.
So Denim owns the Poseidon. Dustin, you own the Ares, the Aphrodite variant.
Yep.
And I
because it has the rotary gun.
The Rack 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I own the Ares Zeus variant, which is just the bog standard dual ERPBCs and three SRM6s.
Yeah.
I'm a basic P. I know who I am.
The Poseidon's got some weird, I like it a lot, but it's got some weird guns. It has the T-Semp cannon.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, take that nice back.
I have used it, and I have used it effectively. But it's one of those weapons that when you do use it and it does work, you know, you feel a little bit bad because of.
That thing shoots NPE. I've got 5 tons of negative player experience coming down your throat.
exactly.
Oh, man. When am I allowed to talk about the record sheet for the Aphrodite?
Now. You might as well just do it now. Okay.
It is. There's a thing in Battletech. It's my least favorite kind of record sheet because we've got like ER, medium, and small lasers all over the place in different torso locations, SRM2s everywhere. And I'm like, can we just stick all of these in the same location so I get a record sheet that doesn't have, because it all the weapon listing and equipment listing is the whole box, and it could have been so much smaller if they just weren't all spread out into the different torso locations. So it's not the only mech that's guilty of that. There are a lot of them out there, and it's just hard to read. Once you get it downloaded into your brain, it's not so hard anymore, but oof. Yeah, it's got one of those record sheets. So.
Do you want to know the reason why?
The reason why they separate them all out? Because you can cross them out, I guess?
I mean, there's no,
because sometimes you see two ER medium lasers left arm if it has two, so you just have to cross the two out. But yeah, like, go on, Josh.
It's because they're all in the legs. Like, all those, all those, like, the LRM5, like, all the ER small, like, all that, that's in the legs of those tripods. But
that's all over the place.
You're not writing a whole new rule book to deal with the problems of a leg weapons on a rotating triangular platform. So they were just like,
especially since it's just one giant turret.
Exactly. So they were like,
except
cool,
the legs.
Everything in the legs is now moved to the torsos. So that's why. That's why you've got like all those like different groups in different torso locations.
Oh, okay. That I guess makes a little more sense. All those gun bits sticking out of the legs.
Yeah, all those little like crappy pop gun. Like why am I shooting an LRM5 and an SRM2 or whatever? It's like, no, that's your leg gun.
I want all of my A pods that are in the Poseidon's legs to be M pods.
Literally anything else.
Yeah.
Regular infantry are not going to run around this thing.
I don't know.
They all have
in the picture of the Apollo. There's infantry fighting it. I don't understand it. Look, when you're fighting Davians and your Corita and it's the Dark Age, you do whatever your commissar tells you.
That's right. But yeah, that was my quick record sheet complain bit.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, rough. It's rough.
All right. How often do you use your tripods?
I've literally never used a tripod. I have wanted to, but I got one assembled, and you guys know me. If I haven't assembled, at least assembled the mech, usually it hasn't seen the table.
That's so true. You stick to your morals.
Yeah. Soon. But you, I mean, I feel like maybe Denim has used the tripods the next most. And then Josh, I feel like you've actually used a lot of tripod. Because I've played against you.
Yeah. I don't have a Triskelion. Mm-hmm. So I've only had the Poseidon to use. If I had a Triskelion, I'd use it more. But I've I've had it out at least 5 times on the table.
Okay. It's more than once.
Yeah.
And then Josh?
I've got the Triskelion and the Ares, and I've taken both to tournaments, and I've run my Triskelion multiple times on the table, and my Ares, I want to say twice at casual times. So,
I feel how many of those were classic? Because all of my 100% of mine were classic. None of mine were Alpha Strike.
I definitely played at least 5 games with Triskelion in classic and 2 Ares classic games.
Nice.
And I've played
plenty of Alpha Strike, right?
Yeah, like 10 Alpha Strike games with both of them.
So yeah, you've got the reps in.
I got the reps. I may not know the rules, but I got the reps.
Nice.
I will say my favorite is by far the Triskelion. That one is just a superior mech.
I could only imagine. And I don't have to look past anything other than the movement profiles for all of these mechs to understand why the Triskelion is the best one.
Yeah.
Because the other ones are too slow.
Well, the Triskelion's the only non-super heavy tripod.
Yeah.
So in lore, there is another one. It's Star League era, and they never expanded on it.
Oh.
Yeah. And that is the Hedgehog.
What?
Yeah.
The
deep lore, original-ish lore, there was a tripod scout mech called the Hedgehog.
Sarna says the Hedgehog, it is generally held fully canonical because it's mentioned in the 2016 print of Interstellar Operations
Rulebook. Exactly.
And the 2020 Rec Guide, Ilclan Volume 2, is a nod to it. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There you go.
Josh, don't lie. All right.
It has smoke projectors. Not only is this a mech I've never heard of, it has equipment I've never heard of.
Yeah, it sounds about right. It's probably like hyper experimental. Illegal grade.
Right up Josh's alley.
The smoke projector page has not been made on Sarna. So if you want to take care of that.
Who wants to write rules? I don't know. Make something up.
Yeah.
Tripods, they're weird. Where do you even start talking about them?
You start with that weird gif of the Ares walking, or Poseidon,
the one that's walking backwards.
Yeah, he's walking backwards or forward. They can face whatever direction they want. It's in the rules.
I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get into the rules and stuff with that. But it does say that its front is like one of its legs is in the front. So that one is just walking backwards. Yeah, it doesn't drag that leg. It leads with that one.
That's right. It leads with that third leg. It comes into the room.
I didn't need the image of a dragged, third leg. Like, follow the tracks, Mech Warrior. Which one?
The one in the middle.
So yeah, crowd favorite, Triskelion. Because it's a sensible mech. It's almost like there's a reason super heavies aren't a thing.
Yeah.
In lore, you know? They're too heavy. It's too heavy.
Now, they all have one thing in common, and that's that third leg. What they also somewhat have in common, but not, is the amount of pilots they have, which I think is one of the cool things.
Yeah. Does the Triskelion have the 2 pilots?
Triskelion has a pilot and a gunner. And
okay.
The super heavies, and this is because they're super heavies, have a pilot, gunner, and an engineer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all in the same cockpit. It's kind of like on Power Rangers when they're all in the same room. Like you can look at the cockpit on the mech and see the little windows where all the people are.
Yeah. If you want tripod novel action, it's actually in Hour of the Wolf, and they all talk to each other Power Rangers style. Okay. Mm-hmm. Take care of that, engineer. Roger, right. Sir. Yeah.
I didn't need to know this. Like, I really wanted to go through the rest of my life not knowing that in
about
Hour
the Megazoid?
Wolf, yeah, about the Megazoid talk, like, in Hour Wolf. Like, I know that book is cursed already, but...
you can control F that bad boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, so we want to talk about rules for tripods for actually using them on the tabletop.
That's what we're here for. Oh,
that is what we're here for.
Whenever I play, I do have a 7-page printout that I have highlighted sections all in so that if I am playing, I can quickly point to where I'm getting my information from.
This Tripod Night go-to book. How many rule books compose your 7-page?
Just the one.
It's doc?
It's just
IO?
Yeah, it's alternate eras.
Oh, okay. Okay. I actually own the Field Manual 3145, which has that is my reference for tonight's rules discussion. Yeah.
Good for you.
So if any of those are out, they're probably out of date, and I have the non-errata, so we can fight over what's right. Dustin, why? Look, it says in my book, your book is out of date. So.
What is this, Alpha Strike?
Yeah, right? Oh, my goodness. No, I have the 6th edition.
Oh, you have to check the errata for that.
That's right.
All right. So the big difference between a tripod rule and a battle mech rule is that third leg. And that third leg has some rules involved. Not too many.
It's actually not that bad.
It's not that bad. It's weird because like tripods are actually not too bad. It's once you get too super heavy that they become worse.
Yeah. All the extra pilots and stuff.
All the extra pilots. So they didn't, thankfully, like the powers that be did not change like the two hit charts for tripods. They just were like, hey, essentially, if you hit a leg, you roll a dice and then you see which leg you hit, depending on facing.
Right. So you roll. Oh, I hit a leg. Okay. Now which leg? Like I rolled a 9. That's a leg. Yep. Now roll a D6 and tell me that number. And then we'll look it up on this handy table because it needs more tables.
Always tables. And I think that table goes 0 through 7. You roll your D6 and it's split up in thirds. So it's basically D3 for the front legs. And then you subtract one or you add one, depending on the left or the right.
Yeah, exactly.
And then if you're in the 0 range or the 7 range, you know, that skews your numbers.
Yeah.
But it's pretty straightforward. Mm-hmm. Not that bad.
Makes sense. Once you do it once, you're like, yep, that makes sense.
That checks out. Yep. Let's see. Do we want to do facings next?
Yeah.
Because that's a cool little trick, the tripod. Especially one with more than, you know, 3 or 5 movement points has up its sleeve.
Yeah, I've never done this with the Ares, so I haven't done it as much. Like, almost, I don't think I've ever done it with the Ares. I've only done it with Skellion, like, once or twice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic, though.
But what is that trick?
That's where a tripod's one of his special abilities is when it turns, no matter how many hex facings it turns, it counts as one movement point. Mm-hmm. Whether it turns 1 hex side to the right or 3 hex sides to the right, you just count 1 and then you go, because it's not actually turning. It's rotating its torso and then just moving off with a different center leg.
Yeah. I think of that little web comic where the guy tries to snap the owl's neck.
Yeah.
That's a tripod. So yeah, 1 MP basically to face any direction you want. Yeah. It's got other movement rules that are similar to quad rules. You can do your lateral shift.
Yep,
you
could do a lateral shift and hull down just like quads. Mm-hmm.
Although, when tripods go hull down, they're only +1 to shoot instead of +2 shooting prone. Yeah,
but quads are +0 when they're prone, and quads can also fire weapons on their legs, whereas tripods cannot. They cannot fire leg-mounted weapons.
So that's why in the rules we establish that all the leg weapons are not actually in the legs for rules purposes.
Wait, are they listed as leg weapons? No,
they are listed as torso weapons, but
okay.
In model, like they are leg weapons.
Yeah, they got kneecap guns, but
see the Poseidon doesn't have any of that stuff. Like its model is accurate.
For all the listeners that are confused right now. Because we're jumping all over the place. The super heavy, like Ares, Aphrodites, and all their other variants, the 135 tonners have kneecap guns, but they're actually in the torso on the record sheet. So,
what I think is the best part about taking a tripod is they have 360 firing arc. Like they can fully rotate their torso.
Yep. Like
their torso twist is 360.
I was going to say the torso twist is 360. That doesn't mean that their firing arc is 360. They still have a front firing arc.
But they get to pick at the end of start into their movement, starting shooting phase.
But, But that's important for their melee phase because they're so weird, they cannot kick backwards. They can only do physical attacks in their front arc. They can't do right and left like mechs or like bipedal mechs or quads.
Yeah, they have like they're in this weird zone where they basically have like an infinite torso twist, but they don't actually torso twist. They just have they can just face wherever they want for not quite free, but you know.
One.
Yeah. So they're like a tank, not tank, with a 360 arc that's not 360.
Best
asterisks.
Yeah, the best way I describe it is in Alpha Strike, they have the turret keyword for their entire damage profile. Like 360, but they have a rear arc for damage. So that's it.
Yeah. Similar situation in Classic. Let's see.
So tripods have either a pilot and a gunner, or if you're a super heavy tripod, a pilot, gunner, and dedicated technical officer. I call him the engineer. That's easier for me. So less words. So let's start with the basic tripod, the non-super heavy tripod. They only have a pilot and a gunner. What does that give them, though? What is having a single person to drive a mech and the other person to shoot the mech give you?
Well, I mean, the pilot gives the whole mech a -1 target to all PSRs, all piloting skill checks, including those made for physical attacks. This is cumulative with the regular -1 that you get for being in a tripod. So you actually get a -2 as long as that pilot is conscious.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pulse lasers on your standing up.
Yeah.
Careful stand on your tripod.
There you go.
For the gunner, what it gives you is that you can select up to 3 primary targets per turn for secondary targets or secondary tertiary targets before you incur the target modifier for having a secondary target.
Yeah, that gunner's just got like a touchscreen iPad and he's just like boop, boop, boop. Yep. Just pulls the trigger like that. He doesn't have to do any work. He's literally just like remote working.
Well, when you're not also trying to avoid fire and balance and stuff, you can focus a lot more on the targets.
Yeah. Dedicated pilot gets a -1. So like I've only played with -1. Is that the total cumulative -2?
-2.
Which is a little dirty. Yes. All right. So that's the pilot and the gunner. Now the super heavies have the dedicated technical officer, and that one always felt weird. Like, what is this person that's not weird. Driving or shooting doing? Well,
he slaps that shutdown button real good.
It's so real dumb.
Good. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, it's because again, if you're shooting and moving, and you also have to type in a shutdown code to keep yourself from overheating. It's a lot, but if your whole job is to just type that code, it makes it a lot easier. So it translates to a +2 modifier to all rolls made to avoid shutdown and ammunition explosions from excess heat. However, I don't even think that's the best job.
Not even close.
The best job. All. Yeah.
Best job is definitely that +1 to your initiative.
Yes. Yes. If you have a tripod super heavy on your team, you get a +1 to your initiative every turn. Mm-hmm.
And that's just one. You just need one. It doesn't stack. You can't bring 3 tripods and get
+3. Even if you have 3, you have to indicate which one is giving you that +1. Because once it goes down, you just don't get that bonus anymore.
I can say for certain I've never played with that rule. Like I now
you're paying the BV.
Yeah. Next time I'm taking my Ares super heavy and be like, hey, I get +1 in initiative, son. And they're like, wait,
this
what?
This is why I've got all the highlights in here.
Like what fake rules are you using? Interstellar Operations, the king of fake rules.
Yes.
Yes. The king of fake.
I will say though, it's funny that if your pilot like gets killed, like ammo explosion happens or something, whatever. The gunner hops in to be the pilot, and if something happens to the gunner, the technical officer hops in to be the gunner. So essentially, there is a ranking. It's pilot, gunner, engineer, but you can't go the other way. You can't drop the gunner to be the engineer. Something I don't even know how that would happen, where one of them would die before another one. But
it's because it's not actually that hard.
I guess knocked out, like you would snake eyes an unconscious roll, but they wouldn't die.
Well, it's not even that. So if
I'm trying to think of...
Yeah, if your ammo explodes, it's only the pilot who takes the damage, yeah. right? But if, say, you fall down, all three of them have to make their seatbelt check individually.
Yep.
Oh. So
one of them might take damage, one of them might not.
Yeah, there you go.
I was like, how do you get different damage? Like, if you get bonked in the head, all of them are taking a damage.
Right.
The pilot taking his neuro, you know, his ammo explosion feedback. That makes sense. And I'm like...
But yeah, if you fall, the all three of them have to roll independently.
That makes sense. Dodge your dashboard.
Yeah.
If you want to roll three times as much on it as you normally would take a super heavy.
Yeah. Roll those leg locations, roll for all the pilots. Yeah.
And you gotta name your pilots because that creates the stories.
Yes. Yeah.
This is on the more cheesy side, but these BV, like essentially all of the pilot, gunner, and technical officer each have their own piloting and gunnery. Mm-hmm. You can get like, oh, the pilot is the best pilot, but the worst gunner. The gunner is the best gunner, but the worst pilot.
Min-max everybody.
You min-max each person. Mm. So it averages out. And I'm like, I've never done that, so I'm not going to explain. But like on Mega Mech or like something where you can like, oh, this is this person's like, yeah, each person contributes to like the weighted average. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's dirty as heck. But once
they start having to be replaced, like you get modifiers on top of that, because if your gunner is also trying to pilot, they're not used to it. So they take an additional +2 instead of the -1. It gets bad.
Yeah.
So especially if you've been maxed like that and it's already a horrible gunnery skill, well, you're not hitting anything.
Not hitting anything today.
Yeah, I actually had, I want to say my gunner went unconscious. Like he rolled snake eyes and I was like,
oh,
yeah. I mean, the pilot, this was in the Triskelion, so there are only two. I was like, there's nobody to hop into the gunner seat there. But yeah, I was like, oh, I can see where having multiple people to fill in for pilots that, because if you're rolling three times as much, one of them's going to go unconscious three times as fast.
Yeah.
So
yeah, more chances, more
chances. And that's one thing I found with the super heavies. Somehow the cockpits just attract so many more LBX pellets.
It does. It attracts a lot of damage. Most of the times that my super heavy has died is because of cockpit crits, for sure.
Still only got 9 armor.
Yeah. No, it does not.
Oh.
The super heavy?
Oh, it has not. I was looking at the wrong tripod record sheet.
Yeah.
That's a regular weight, not a super heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Poseidon has 12 armor and 4 internal. So it can take 16 points. Yeah.
Okay.
Your Gauss rifle ain't getting through all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other weird tripod rules that we want to go over in our abbreviated tripods only episode?
I mean, super heavies are tall.
They have
three levels high.
They are three levels high.
They have their own weird punch kick chart, like levels chart.
Yeah. You need a level 2 hill to give them partial cover. Level 1, anything won't do it. They're too easy to, and they're huge, so they're easier to hit.
They're just plus one for everybody to shoot.
You get a +1 to shoot at super heavies, for sure.
They just thick.
Oh, plus they're big and bulky and lanky, so they have a +1 to hit on all physical attacks they make.
That big old fist is going to hit you real slow. You got plenty of time
to get out of the way. Yeah.
Now, super heavies, the weird thing to me about the super heavies, the reason why you can fit more stuff in them is because you can double up space. Like crit things only take half the number of spaces. So an ERPPC takes up 1 crit slot. And that's just because crit slots are huge. So if you have ammo, you can put 2 ammo into 1 crit slot. The problem is that if you crit that slot, both ammo bins explode, doing 4 points of damage to you.
I mean, this always kills the mech.
Yeah.
This always kills the mech.
I've played one game. I have one solitary game where an ammo explosion did not just explode the mech. And I remember it to this day. It was a Highlander with an AC-10 bin that had 2 rounds or 1 round left in it. Yep.
Oh, anti-mech infantry attacks against super heavies also receive a minus two to hit modifier. So maybe that's why there are so many A-pods on those legs.
Yeah, there you go.
It's real easy to climb up them legs. Don't.
Look, there's service ladders right here.
Yeah. The claymores like start
that,
going
that
off.
Picture, what is it? That there's a source book that has a picture of a griffin.
Oh, with the ladder in the leg.
And it's got the ladder, like there are no bones or myome or anything, and the ladder goes right up through where the knee is.
That's his hollow leg.
That's how you get into the cockpit. That's how you get into the cockpit is you climb up the leg ladder, the inside of the leg.
Yep.
I want to say both the Triskelion Ares all have case two. So pilots going unconscious is a high probability.
Yeah.
Things get squirrely. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to scramble his noodle. Yeah. Mech's fine. Pilot, get the stretcher.
All right. Is this something that we can say the Dark Age didn't do poorly?
I like it. I mean, obviously I bought, well, the reason why I got a Poseidon is because it's a tripod super heavy, but it's also a Clan Smoke Jaguar mech. So I got to have it. So mine is currently halfway painted in Smoke Jag colors. It's got a lot of gray, a little bit of yellow. I haven't started any spots yet, but this is definitely a Fidelis / Smoke Jaguar unit for me.
I got to put it on the table, see what the character of it is. I'm excited to do that.
It's definitely a head turner.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, people notice when you pull that out and put it down, and it's so big, it still only takes up one space on the map board, even though in the model takes up four hexes.
Yeah.
Each leg gets its own hex.
Yeah. Each leg gets its own hex, but that is not it is still just in the middle hex.
Mm-hmm. It's not a, 70 meters in diameter.
Right. It is not the length of a football field.
Yeah. It's big, but it ain't that big.
Yeah. But it is so big, no other units can occupy that hex except for infantry. Because normally you can have like one mech, two to four vehicles, and some other things, depending on what side the vehicles are on. But stacking limits, no other vehicles or mechs may share the same hex as a super heavy. They just can't.
Mm. No stacking rules for the...
Yeah. They're also big, so they reduce the movement point cost for if they're going through woods or jungle or rough or rubble or buildings. They don't have to pay. Like light woods are free for them, totally free.
It's just the heavy woods that they have to pay for, right?
Yeah, right. And they only pay one for that.
I mean, when your movement profile is 2-3,
right?
I would hope so.
Yeah. You got to give me a gimme once in a while.
Yeah, and they're so big, you're stepping over most of that stuff.
All right. Do we want to do a quick little tactics on tripods? Like,
of course.
Yeah.
I have to know how to use it when I finally put the thing on the table. Bequeath upon me the wisdom of the reps.
The tripod gods.
Yeah.
Denim, how should I be using tripods? Because.
Okay. Well, I've done a couple fun things. I took the Poseidon up against a dozen urban mechs just to see.
So I remember the pictures.
I took him by himself and I took him with a team. And I will tell you right now that a tripod super heavy by themselves, it doesn't matter what they're going up against, they're going to lose. They don't have the head armor. They stay up for a long time until a leg gets blown off. And then it's just a matter of time. They cannot put out the damage needed by themselves to take on an army. They are definitely they're the cornerstone of your unit. They are the anchor, and they're a really good anchor, especially the Poseidon having the 3-5 instead of the Ares 2-3 movement. If you have a team that can move with it and keep the harassers off, it can do a lot of damage because it's got a lot of weapons. It can do a lot of damage to an enemy force. So every time I've ever taken it out by itself, it has performed horribly. Anytime I've taken it out with other units, it's decent. I'm not going to say it's overpowered. I'm going to say it's a fun alternative to your 7,500 or 10,000 BV army. I enjoyed it. I'll definitely take it a few more times. For campaign missions, it's a lot of fun. When you pull that out as a boss mech, it gets the proper reaction, but it's not so overpowered that your players are just going to instantly lose, especially when that T-Semp cannon goes off. Oh, look, a Highlander, you're shut down.
Yeah, I think my thing is they are under-synced for all of their guns, first of all. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have so many guns, like you mentioned, Dustin, but they can never bring them all to bear. Like, you are like, okay, what do I want to use my main gun, or do I want to use all my little secondary guns? And it's like
playing intro tech again.
Yeah, it really is like playing intro tech again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Denim touched on this. It's like, for as much armor and like bubbles as they have, they will always get headshot before they get like worn down internally.
Yeah. And they do attract attention. Like they are
bullet magnets.
Yeah. Yes.
Plus one from anywhere on the table, it's like, oh, that gunnery five pilot sitting in the back with an LRM 10.
I did it.
Yeah. It's not that hard to put damage on these. Especially when you are walking and running, because, well, when you're at 2-3, you're going to try to get that 3 hexes of movement, because, well, not all of your guns are long range. Like, these aren't sniper mechs, which has always felt weird.
Yeah, they definitely are much more. Well, the ERPPCs and the Poseidon are long range, but everything else is a good solid medium, like the MRMs, the medium lasers, the SRMs.
The one I have, Aphrodite, is kind of long range. It's got 3 LRM 5.
They all have 3 LRM 5s.
No, right, and they're all intersphere LRM 5s too, so they have a minimum range.
No, this one, I mean, it might be intersphere, but these are the ones that where everything hits streak. Oh. This one has streak LRM 5s and a bonus LRM 5, I think. All the junk guns, the rack 5. So, you know, rack 5's got some range.
Well, it's shorter range than some, but I like the Rack 5 a lot. I like it's a medium range weapon.
Yeah. Okay.
Not a long range.
They're all like, bracket buildy, right?
Now, I will say I do like yours, Dustin, the Ares, mm-hmm. because at least it understands, like, hey, I'm not a frontline combatant. What I am is an Angel ECM and 2 C3 Masters.
Ooh, nice.
Like like, this is a command mech that is not going to die by some errant, you know, Gauss rifle shot. Like, attack will not kill this mech.
I almost wanted to make a list for this episode that leveraged the 2 C3 Masters, and then I decided not to, because that's a lot.
Titan is so kaiju-y because it's got the 2 ERPPCs in the one arm. It's got the MRM-20 that just tons of missiles at medium range. And it's got that T-Semp cannon that just, like, it does the weird sci-fi, whoa, 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 and then a mech just shuts down. Just shuts down.
You got to roll good first. Got to roll good.
You got to hit, and then you got to roll okay after that.
Yeah, you got to roll okay.
Yeah. You get 2 chances. It's like the... Yeah.
I will say, I also thought these were going to be, you know, left to the wayside. Like, okay, these were fun Dark Age stuff. They kind of brought them back. They killed the Republic. So now they don't have to play with any more tripods. No, they made a new variant, the Apollo, for the Davians. Because why not?
Faction-wise.
Yeah, because they're bringing them out in plastic.
Oh, God, one day. Maybe.
One day.
Who knows?
But yeah, after the Republic era, you know, Ill-Clan era, they get kind of scattered to the houses. So there's a couple available in most of the house units and some of the clan stuff too, because it's all Republic leftovers. So
what's it? Seafox, Fed Sons, Free Worlds, and Star League / Clan Wolf.
Yeah. They're the same now.
And a little bit of Smoke Jaguar.
And a tiny bit.
Yeah. It's all you need. Just the tip of the Smoke Jaguars. That's all you need.
Yep.
Now,
it counts.
That's the super heavies. Now, we do have to talk about the Triskelion, which is kind of like the underdog /
the good one.
It's the good one. That one, mercenary availability.
Nice.
Okay.
So anyone can use that. And that's one that I think is like if you had to get a tripod, just buy the Triskelion. Just be happy.
Yeah.
It's a 5.8 targeting computer for 4 Clan ER mediums, 2 LRM-15s.
I think it's 2 sounds
it's
right.
It's 2, but all they right. have Artemis.
There you go.
They have Artemis. They have Artemis 5.
Yeah, so Artemis 5, which is targeting computer for missiles. So for the BV you pay for it, I feel like you're always going to A, be hitting, and B, be moving, and C, just having fun doing weird, like, lateral move stuff, 360 turreting.
He's just a wild card.
It's a wild card. You got a dedicated pilot and gunner. So, like, you're doing weird stuff.
Yeah, the Triskelion reads like a skirmisher to me. It doesn't seem like it wants to be brawling. Has that been your experience with it?
It has good long-range weapons, which, oh, man. It's like the few times I brawl, it does really good. Because, like... Oh,
okay.
But it shouldn't... It doesn't have the perfect armor to brawl in that, like, Dark Age of Clan era. I'll put it that way. There are tankier mechs, or there are more damaging mechs. So it's, like, the perfect middle of good armor, good speed, good weapons.
Yeah. Well, it's a 75-ton that goes 5.8. Yes. That's good.
Skirmishy.
It's a skirmisher. I've probably always taken it with the wrong mechs, which are things like Vulture Mark 4Ds, which are the full damage armor, but it just gets blown up so fast. So, like, the Triskelion can't exist long enough to, like, support it. In Alpha Strike, I love it, though, because it is a mech with turret, and, well, turret is good.
It's just good.
Yeah, that's 360 arc. I'm trying to think. But, yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I'm buying a Triskelion for
sure.
Yeah,
yeah. I think everyone that... It's mercenary. Anyone can take it. do we have any other thoughts on tripods for today?
No, they're fun. They're fun. That's what I say. Right. They're fun, but the first time you use it, it's going to be a long game because you're going to forget rules. You're going to want to look rules up. You're going to want to so make sure that the first time you use one, you set aside that time.
Have that chat.
Yeah. First one is, I'm bringing a tripod. Let's look up the rules before the game. But no, I love them. They're fun. I really hope they make another non-super heavy one.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, more than just a Triskelion would be nice.
I think that's it for tonight, folks. That's episode 69. A little more casual than anyone probably wanted, but that's fine for our speed.
It was a perfect amount of cash.
Yeah. All right, Mech Warriors, I think that's it for episode 69, talking about tripods. You can catch us at the mechbaypodcast at gmail.com, on Discord at the Mech Bay Podcast, or listening to us on your favorite HEBG station. But join us next episode when we bring on some special guests.